Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Today we honor Trinity Sunday. We pause on this pivotal point of the church year to acknowledge God, what God speaks to us about his three-person nature through Scripture. One nature, being the Son, has drawn our attention since we acknowledged Christ's nativity when God was made man. Soon thereafter, God revealed plan at Easter as we was celebrated what Jesus did for us on the cross. In the last few weeks, we learned through Scripture how the Son of Man initiated the church and poured out the living waters of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples, empowering God's people to go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, as was read in the Gospel of Matthew 28 a few minutes ago. Jesus' deity rings out to us in this verse as we give our undivided attention today to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We focus on what God reveals about himself, his innermost being, his divine nature without any miracles or works. Trinity Sunday is a pivotal week because what we call the three persons of God is a reality we as Christians must anchor our faith on. A reality of what God says of himself, this reality and belief in our triune good, God is the foundation of our salvation. And we must rise above any reasoning the world dares to say differently. Believe me, it will. Martin Luther once said of the Trinity, "Therefore, we should not dispute about how it can be that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God, for it is by its very nature beyond all reason. But it should be enough for us that God speaks thus about himself and reveals himself thus in his word." Very true. It should be enough for us to learn these things through Scripture. This truth we do not dispute, but wrapping our mind around it can be easier said than done. This truth beyond all reason makes it hard to resist applying analogies to help understand the mystery. I've used several of these analogies in the past, like an egg having three parts but still an egg, or like me being a father, husband, and son but still one person. Water, steam, and ice, three natures of H2O. There are many more, having all their own theological discrepancies. I've even heard these to describe the Trinity: speaker, spoken word, and listener. Or this one: the Father is the one who wants to comfort, the Son who prays for the comforter, and the Spirit who is the comforter. Our mind searches for something to help understand the mystery of the Trinity. We know, but we don't understand. I have trouble with this quite often, it seems. One episode I recall started a council meeting here at church several years ago. My bride was getting teased at this meeting about her animals and connecting it to Christmas, which was quickly approaching. My gears weren't turning, but hers were. I could see the look in her eye, and I've seen that look before. Something was a-brewing. Sure enough, when we got home, she presented the idea of a living nativity. Actually, it sounded like a pretty good idea. So in the next few days, I processed in my mind what kind of apparatus I must build to accommodate this. I then revealed my construction plan with using a few animals and a fenced-in trailer and having a small manger scene on the end. She gave me the look. Obviously, I didn't understand. I did not understand the definition of living nativity. So I asked a question that I already should have known. "So you mean real people too?" Well, the rest is history, and obviously my project had to get bigger. The point being, though, I ignored the real purpose of a living nativity with my own reasoning and lack of understanding. I knew, but I didn't know. Understanding what God is like, how he relates to us, and how we should relate to him is all revealed in the truth of the Trinity. This understanding should make our hearts joyful towards God. For we know that all three persons, the whole Godhead, turns himself towards us to help our sinful nature battle the forces of sin, death, and the devil. And that is a constant battle. He reveals himself to us so we may be brought close to him through the forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. You may or may not know, but this is the only Sunday of the year we proclaim our faith with the Athanasian Creed. You can find it in the front of your hymnals on page 319. I'm sure this is not your favorite creed. It is quite long and somewhat repetitive. But if you really concentrate on this profession of our faith, the comprehension of the Trinity, understanding who God really is, and the apprehension of our eternal destiny is clearly proclaimed in triplicate. Did I really say understanding again? Well, to help with that, I like to use a visual description called the Trinity Triangle. As you look at this triangle up on the screen, you can see it is fittingly an equilateral triangle. Its name derives from its equal values. All three sides of the triangle are equal in length. All of the angles are an equal 60 degrees. In more ways than one, this equilateral triangle is a perfection of equivalence. It might help to copy and paste this image in your mind as we confess our belief in the Athanasian Creed here in a few minutes. Co-eternal and co-equal. You can read this triangle any direction you want. The equality, the unity of the divine presence of our Lord keeps circling and playing to the center as one God. This is indeed the fundamental nature of our triune God. This divine community, our three in one and one in three God, shaped the universe into existence. We heard this in the Genesis reading earlier as God's plan was set into motion. 6 days of creation, our Lord made the heavens, the earth, and everything in it. But something special was created on that sixth day. Let me read again verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. The image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Creating the heavens and the earth and everything in it, no doubt, is quite remarkable. However, creating you and I in the image of our triune God? When our grandson was born a little over a year ago, we all agreed how much he looked like his dad. When he was a few months old, it was fun to compare pictures back and forth with his father when they were about the same age. Father and son just as well have been twins. I see family similarities in many youngsters from the time they are infants and beyond. Who does this child take after? Where does the red hair come from? What similarities are there with their posture, their laugh, or their attitude? I think I get that last one. Whose image and likeness do they bear? In verse 26, God says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Did you catch the hint of the Trinity there? The words us and our? At any rate, the answer applies to all of us. We bear the image and likeness of our God. Not that our image, like I compared a minute ago, will actually resemble God, but instead, our image reflecting God's holy personality and thought, word, and deed. Our triune God tells us something critical about ourselves, about whom we are created and shaped to be. the purpose of our existence and the path for our eternal destination. When God created the heavens and the earth, darkness and light, plants and all living things, Moses writes, "And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good." But then, Adam and Eve decided to eat of the forbidden fruit, and suddenly, certain things in God's creation were not good. Even though we were created in the image of God, Satan blurred that image. Yes, we are sinful and unclean. And that has been passed along to every generation since Adam. In our sinfulness, our focus easily zeroes in on the great evil in the world. The theological question arises, if our God made everything so good, why are things so bad? That question entered my mind during the onset of the pandemic. Why now, Lord, when it seems Christianity is on a decline, must we close the church doors? Remember how we could only meet with less than 10 people with a mask? I'm sure most of us would agree at the onset of this COVID, many of us probably thought or said, this is not good. And it wasn't. Social distancing seemed to distance our relationship with God. Not only did it affect our worship, but it changed our way of life. Businesses faced financial stress. People were out of work. Events were being canceled. Medical facilities were understaffed. We were told where we could go and where we could not. Decisions had to be made on what was essential. Life as we knew it was not good. So it seemed. But you know what? If you recall that parking lot service in the midst of the pandemic when Pastor Felcher stood on that trailer, in a snowstorm, no doubt, praising our risen Lord on that wet and cold Easter Sunday, the congregation in rows of cars, as Pastor's fingers grew numb and our fellowship weakened on what should have been the glorious day celebration of the year, was changed. And most of us don't like change. But looking back, it shaped us into the truth of what the value really is of being made in the image of God. The genuine equality of the Trinity, shaping our hearts and minds in the realization we are okay as we live out God's plan on what trials we encounter to ultimately make us stronger. So here we are. Even though we face many challenges and hardships, the Bible makes it clear. God made it good. It is repeated in Genesis 1 too often to be ignored. Even though certain things in our life fall from that goodness, our loving God does not. He is always there. Like I mentioned earlier, not only is the creation story fundamental to the expression of the Trinity, it is also fundamental to the story of our salvation. This reality is clear through scriptures as we reinforce our image as Christians, making our understanding crystal clear of why we are here with the Father, where we are going with the Son, and how we are going to get there with the Holy Spirit. On this special day, we reflect who is on the cross. That person on the cross is the Lord of heaven and earth. He made the whole universe. And the first thing he said about it was good. Very good. He loved it. And it was the love of creation that brought him to that cross in the first place. Jesus came in the flesh of this world to redeem us amidst the inescapable disruptions we face daily. And it's our love for him that roots us deep in the truths of our faith that we proclaim in the creeds. Holding fast to the belief in the resurrection of the body and eternal life for all who believe. So So it's not as much of how three can be one or one three. This day is a celebration of God's work to restore us to himself. The restoring the image of God in us and the restoring of us to the fellowship and togetherness of the divine life. We are made in the image of God's love and righteousness. For that, let us rejoice and be glad. In Christ, the image of God has been restored. Christ lives in us, baptized as we are by the Holy Spirit. Our Creator feeds us the feast of salvation. This is our God, true Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, vibrant in life and love, welcoming us into this enthusiasm and love through the merits of the Son. To this Son, Jesus Christ, be all the glory forever and ever. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts in mind. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please remain seated as we profess our belief in the Athanasian Creed.